welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And we didn't have a show last week. We had some...
Actually, I was here. You left.
Oh, you did? You re-recorded.
Yeah, the whole show by myself. It was as Michael, our studio guy, said, the most depressing episode of This Week on Channel 9 he had ever seen.
Well, when I left for vacation, we didn't have a show, so there was technical glitches, so... Sorry you had to put up with Dan. I'm back.
Yes. So let's get into it.
Actually, before we do that, I walked by your office today, and I realized we forgot to actually celebrate your 10-year anniversary.
10 years at Microsoft.
That's right. Congratulations, sir.
Yes. Thank you. And I sent this around, but if you just look at the 10-year valuation of Microsoft, you'll just see my value.
Yes,
you'll,
exactly.
You'll see it.
Pretty much exactly where you haven't you haven't messed anything up too badly.
Exactly. Yes. Steady Eddie.
But the M&Ms. So the M&Ms are actually because here at Microsoft, every year you're supposed to buy a pound of M&Ms for every year you've been with the company.
Yes.
And how long has it been since you put those M&Ms, 10 pounds of M&Ms outside your door?
Let's see. My anniversary was like Wednesday.
Yeah.
And they're basically gone. It's down to the last bowl.
And how many of those have you eaten?
I probably had about a pound myself.
Yeah, see, that's what happens, so.
Now, this is a Microsoft interview question, but it turns out I wanted to get a variety of M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut M&Ms weigh more.
Mm.
Regular M&Ms weigh about the middle. Dark chocolate M&Ms are the same size. And this is, they look exactly the same, have less net weight than plain M&Ms. So if you want to just as much chocolate as possible, do not get the dark chocolate because it's actually less. So I had to get 10 pounds, and it became a Microsoft interview question, which is, that thing had 17.9 ounces, the other one had 16.8.
Because you're a big chocolate guy.
Yeah, so I'm
doing... You gotta maximize.
I'm doing peanut butter.
And they're all the same price?
They're all the same price, although some had 2-for-1s.
Oh, okay.
So it was a very complex problem. I ended up just getting 2 bags because I thought somebody would ask me, you got at least 10 pounds, right?
Yeah.
And then I could say... Yes.
Nice.
But not exactly 10 pounds.
So that's our show. We'll see you next week.
Great. And to get right into it, let's let's actually add value here.
Yes, the Imagine Cup winners were announced this week in New York City.
Yes. So Team Ireland won the big prize, if you will, and their app had some Windows Embedded, some Windows Phone. And basically what it did is, a problem they have in Ireland is, I think the leading cause of death between 10 and 24-year-olds is car crashes.
Right.
So they actually had ways to check not only for people that are driving, but also for driving conditions, and be able to update that in real time.
Yeah, and also to tell you, hey, this road is dangerous. Maybe you want to avoid dangerous roads. You know, we think about avoiding tolls and avoiding, you know, traffic, but wouldn't it be nice to also think about avoiding dangerous roads, historically dangerous roads, too. So congratulations to them and to all the winners. Another one that I liked, I think they were the second place winner. There was an application that would actually dynamically tell you which fire exit was best.
Actually, I think it was a different category, but that was another really cool one. So, and the idea there is to have basically like a sensor network. So, you know, you exit the hotel room and you need to find the fastest exit out. It could actually point you to the one where, you know, the sensors haven't detected heat or
something.
Flying
swan dive out the window every time works for me.
Well, I personally travel with the parachute. So,
hey, Dave, there you go. It's a good call.
Thank you.
Never be too prepared.
Thank you very much. So, our next story. Link to HPC.
Link to HPC, finally. I mean, I've got that HPC cluster underneath my desk at home.
Yeah.
And I've just been cranking out lots of data.
I don't know what to do with the Cray.
I know. No easy way to query it. So, finally.
I have, you know, the historical World of Warcraft stats for all PvP tournaments, and I don't know how to track them.
Exactly.
And, finally. So, this is what used to be called Dryad.
Right.
Which started off as a research project. You can find some videos that Charles had done on it. Now it's kind of been moved into the HPC world, so maybe it has more less research, more I guess backing from the high performance computing team.
Gotcha. And this is beta 2.
Yes. So the idea is you have really large sets of data, and you want to be able to query. This adds the programmability on top of that, those really large data sets, and it also integrates with all our BI stack, right? So you're talking analysis services, Power Pivot, Excel, SQL, Azure.
Yep.
Everything, baby.
Nice.
So next up, what is this about?
Yeah, this is the Windows Azure Accelerator for Web Roles. So if you've done any Azure programming, you know that it can sometimes be a laborious process to actually take your websites and deploy them, especially if you're going out to multiple web roles, like if you want to push it out to multiple instances.
Okay.
And so this simplifies that whole process by giving you a set of tools that you can use NuGet with to get right into Visual Studio, and it makes it really easy to basically say, all right, I've got my project in Visual Studio, now push it out to one or more web role instances.
So did you watch the full video on this?
I did.
Okay, so because I watched part of it, and it seemed like you actually have to remote desktop into the Azure instance?
Yeah, I don't quite understand why that piece is going on. So
because if you can do it on a number of instances, does that mean you have to remote desktop into each one, or how does it get the new one started, or is it just something like you do it on one and then it's able to do all? Something to maybe follow up.
Something to follow up. I'll get right on that.
Okay, yeah. So it's going to be an all-nighter here.
Yeah.
And should we just wait?
Yeah. I got my laptop down here. So
if you don't mind.
If I could have some M&Ms, I can keep going until 3 a.m.
Speaking of
M&Ms.
M&Ms, Jonathan Carter had a post on the IE blog on debugging web workers.
Yeah, a lot of people may know Jonathan Carter from his work on the evangelism team. He's now switched over to the team that's building programming and debugging tools right into the browser scenarios.
Big friends of ours, John Mont, mm-hmm. Andy Sterling,
yep.
and the whole crew.
Yep, so this basically talks about the new, what is it, just F12 experience, and how do you debug asynchronous JavaScript calls that are going on in the background.
Yeah, and in particular, web workers are difficult because they're basically running within their own context, right? So let's see if you can see this on the screenshot, but if you look where that red circle is, the scope is actually different. It's a worker global space. You don't have access to the DOM, and so there's a number of unique things that are going on there, and you want to be able to track what's going on within those, maybe if there's a memory leak or the access that it's getting, what's actually going on underneath the covers, and there are some ways to actually do this, but it is something when you're talking about JavaScript now having multi-threading, you will need to be able to debug multi-threaded applications.
Multi-threaded, long-running operations, any number of things you have going on back there.
Yeah, so it's cool stuff that the tools support, and it's frankly something that I don't think anybody knew.
Yeah.
That there was already support for debugging web workers.
Yep.
So, cool stuff. Love it. Windows Phone apps.
Yeah, so a lot of people have been kicking the tires on Windows Phone Mango, and one of the new features that's coming in Mango is when you do a Bing search, they have those instant answers, so like if I Bing for Florida Gators and they happen to be playing, then they'll sometimes show me the score that the Florida Gators, well, lately have been losing, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't mean your Hurricanes are winning, but in any event, yeah. They're going to start surfacing Windows Phone 7 apps as instant answers. So if you search for Xbox in this screenshot, you'll see that Xbox comes up, and that's the official Xbox app. Well, what if you're Amazon and you're building the Windows Phone 7 app for Amazon? Wouldn't it be nice to know that somebody typed Amazon backpacking?
Amazon Fresh.
Yes.
Amazon Fresh Redmond.
Yes,
right, so
exactly.
Now you know, okay, so somebody wants Amazon Fresh and in Redmond, Washington.
So this app, this post actually takes you through how to take that query parameter and know that somebody clicked on it from within Bing Answers, and rather than just take you to the top level of the app, actually take you down to Amazon
Fresh.
Be
like, hey,
Redmond.
Here's our delivery area for Redmond, Washington.
Absolutely.
Boom.
So that's pretty
Boom.
Cool. Save you some clicks.
Absolutely. So this is a high-level post, and Phil Hack mentioned this, but it really is a roadmap. So this is the classic, you gotta make sure people understand there's caveats, these are the themes, some things may change.
No warranty expressed or implied.
Yeah, exactly. So, but just on a high level here, you see things around development and deployment, making that a lot easier, and I think some of that could go into Azure as well, so you see the cloud writing on the very last one.
Lots of support for mobile, HTML5 across multiple device types.
Yeah, so all the things for viewport and making that just work, especially with their default templates. Some of the things that aren't on here are like Razor support. Phil mentioned that's like a separate work stream, if you will, not in MVC core, and stuff that Eric Porter and team are working on as well. So a lot of stuff. And another interesting one was the recipe API, so the idea is you can have sort of task focus. It's like NuGet to the next level, if you will, where it's like task focused. Like I want to, maybe it's you wanted to add debugging or something. You could add debugging packages. Maybe you wanted to add a form, and there'd be like a recipe, if you will. You click it. Maybe there's some UI stuff. Maybe it downloads whatever packages NuGet needs, and you can just add that feature as you go. So check out some of the concepts. But again, just caveat. It's really interesting to see the direction and where they're going. And really, they're looking for feedback, too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they've got a bunch of comments at the bottom already, so chime in there.
Yeah, absolutely. So
speaking of comments.
And so, feedback.
So a couple of new user voice sites launched this week, one for Visual Studio and one for Visual Studio Application Lifecycle Management. Some people are getting confused about what exactly is Application Lifecycle Management versus when should I just post in the other regular Visual Studio post. Frankly, even though I'm the Application Lifecycle Management evangelist, it is sometimes a little bit tricky to say.
Isn't it like test? Team tests? Stuff.
Well, so we have like team test features, team so like server. Microsoft Test Manager is clearly ALM, but then where do you put unit testing, you know? So
I put unit testing in the other one.
Well, okay.
This is me.
So this anyway, me. The net here is that user voice, a lot of people are familiar with, it provides a really nice and easy way for people to make suggestions and then vote those up or down.
Sure.
And so Connect obviously has been around for a long, long time. Connect.microsoft.com, WAC Visual Studio.
Connect.
Connect.
Not Connect.
That's right. Yep. Maybe moving some suggestions around.
Mm-hmm.
And so so that also supported this concept, but we wanted to make a really lightweight, easy to jump in, no need to sign in with your live ID kind of thing. And so that's what the user voice is for. So it's pretty interesting. One of the top comments on TFS is, hey, I want the ability to rename my team projects. And that got voted up to, I think, number two.
Now, isn't it interesting that that's one of the priorities?
Yeah, it is, I guess.
From customers.
Some people, yeah. And we
I guess
that,
it
so.
Is. Yep. Numerically.
Numerically, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, quantitatively. Sure.
I'm saying that I want TFS to be an MMO. I'm going to start it, and it's going to be a baby smash.
There's already a command line switch for that.
Okay, I don't know that one.
Yeah.
It was probably in those build customization tests we talked about.
The Rangers already shipped that.
Probably. Yep. So, which brings us to one of the most interesting characters in Microsoft.
Aye, Governor.
That folks don't know, Gov Maharaj. So, Eric Meyer, and people may know Gov from the Defrag show that he does with Larry Larson. But Gov, super interesting guy, and internal aliases. He's always on, always answering to stuff. And this is a conversation where you get to hear kind of like Gov's background. How he solves problems.
The guy lives in Assembler. I mean, he's hardcore to the hardcore extreme. I mean,
yeah. So he's one of those guys that can really help. Knows Windows and what's going on in his system and can kind of help pinpoint so many things.
Mm-hmm.
So very cool. You can hear his background. I think he has 3 degrees, and none of them are computer science.
Wow, I didn't know that. So interesting trivia about Gov. We talked about this in the past on the show, but he used to put in his email signature, he used to put Gov rhymes with stove, and now at some point in the last couple of years, he switched it to Gov rhymes with orange.
And they actually discussed this during the interview, and they're like, oh, it's because you have orange glasses, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no, it's because nothing in the English language rhymes with orange. And he's like, Eric's like, be careful, these listeners,
yeah, exactly,
they'll
right?
find somewhere. And he said, English language, U.S. Yep. English. So.
Or purple.
Yeah, exactly. So, which brings us to our next story. Skeleton custom control for WPF.
Just in time for Halloween.
I'm going to be a skeleton! this is the Microsoft Research SDK that we've talked about before. You know, this is a custom control that allows you to basically have a skeleton. So the idea is, in Blend, I can load up and say how I want that skeleton to be designed. So I could, totally customize the joints, customize each individual joint.
Can you map textures on top of that then?
I think so.
Cool.
Because it's just a Blend object,
if
you will. So there's no reason you couldn't. I don't know if you get the right perspective, but you could start using the 3D viewport perspective to give you some perspective.
Okay.
As well for cheap sleight of hand animation, if you will, or 3D, or for that 3D fill.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is here, I have this thing in, I can load up in Blend and then just go to town on the model. And then that, once it gets a skeleton track lock, you can then actually see that model that you've now edited.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's very cool. I'm actually planning on using this tomorrow. Which brings us to...
Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week!
So my pick of the week, this actually came from a friend of the show, Ed Keim. He's been on the show a couple times. And he's kind of been working on this hobby project in the background. It's basically an online competition where you can go out and build... contest DLLs, if you will. So right now the first project that he's launched is Hold'em Poker. Mm-hmm. And I already have my bot up there. It's written in J Sharp.
All right.
And you see I'm not doing so well. I think I'm actually
Ouch.
Losing
Ouch.
To Ed's wife. But that's okay. I'll still have some
She's
time to get
smart
back in
cookie,
this.
She
so. Is. But in any event, it's called FinalBot. So you can check out FinalBot and you can start submitting your own bots. And he's going to be adding to the list of contests over time. So it's kind of cool. I like these projects. Kind of reminds me of, remember Terrarium? .NET Terrarium?
Yeah. I think this is probably more competition, mm-hmm. though, versus Terrarium was kind of more just...
There was a competition element of Terrarium. You wanted to see how well your plants and animals did versus the others. I don't know if you remember that.
But... I only did plants in mine.
Oh, okay.
That'd be awesome.
My dinosaur will eat your plants.
Let's keep this PG-13. Okay, so Hotmail Hack Detector. This is very cool.
Yeah.
So the idea is, I don't know if you all can see this very closely, in the mark as red unread, they've now added my friend's been hacked.
Right. So how often, I mean, this happened to me a few times in the last week, actually, where I keep getting these email addresses from my friend, and I'm like, getting these emails from my friend, and he's like, hey, check out this online degree program.
Yeah, why does my friend keep wanting me to take Viagra?
Yeah, or wants me to quit smoking. I'm like, all right.
Makes no sense. Boom, you know they've been hacked.
Now, but you probably know it before they do, which is the interesting thing.
Yeah, they absolutely do. I heard a horror story that this happened to a friend where she had just accepted an offer for another job, sent it to everyone, including it was like very personal things got sent to her new manager.
Oh.
Yeah, and then she had to say, no, really, it's my account's been hacked.
Whoa.
So, yeah, not a good thing, and she had no idea until she started getting emails.
So what happens here is if you see that your friend's been hacked, and they're on I think they have to be on a Hotmail address, then you can say, hey, look, my friend's been hacked, and then it actually... will lock out their account so that they have to answer a series of verification questions in order to unlock it. Now, obviously, what happens if your friends play a prank on you and they all, you know, lock out
your
account?
I think there's multiple friends that have to do it, too. There's some algorithm. It's not just, like, you know, one thing above it. Like, say, if they're sending a ton of email, mm-hmm. and the typical emails have been sent is, you know, 3 a day, and now they're sending 40.
Yep.
Then, like, that's another heuristic that they can use to do that. But I think this is great. And the other cool thing is this actually works with Gmail and Yahoo as well. So if your friend on Gmail or Yahoo is hacked, then they actually send data to the Gmail Yahoo folks, say, like, hey, this is suspicious spam activity. So you have to be on Hotmail to be able to tell them.
Right.
But this is very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So love it.
Very cool.
Which brings us to the end of our show.
It does. Yeah. So we'll see you. You won't be here next week, but we'll see. I'll see everyone else next week.
Okay, then.
Bye.